Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Bill.
How are you, Diggs? All right? We've come today to gather together as a family to worship our wonderful God. And we'll be speaking about God's goodness later on in the message and throughout the service. So please stand as we remember our Redeemer lives.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives, that we are born again, saved to eternity. We cannot give you enough praise, Lord. Amen. Please be seated, everybody. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. It's such a joy to be here, isn't it, really? Come on a Sunday morning. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church because it's probably the last thing you want to do on a Sunday morning. But when you do get here, that's the best time to come, is when you don't feel like it. Then God speaks to us. So I'm going to ask this morning, if we can, have a sharing time where people share openly about how God has been good to you in your life. I'm not looking for a huge testimony, just anything small. And while you're thinking about that, I'm going to share something that happened to me. Then we're going to sing that song, Amen, and remain seated. And then I'm going to ask you guys to share. I don't suppose you've got the roving mic out, mate? Here we are. Cool, thanks. So, this is what God did for me before I was even saved, okay? So 35 years ago, my then wife and I split up, and I was just heartbroken. Literally, couldn't sleep at night. Went to the doctor and thought, give me a tablet so I can sleep at least, because you can't function without sleep. And he sat there and he just listened to my story and he didn't say anything really, and then in the end gave me a prescription and said, fill that out and you'll sleep. So I thought, all right. I felt like nothing had happened really, in that he didn't say anything. So I went home that night, got the pills, took one that night. And that night I had a dream, and the dream was I was floating through the air like this, right? And in the ground was a big opening, so I ended up floating down the opening. And it was like a tunnel going at a 45 degree angle. So as I'm floating down the tunnel, all the time I could look back and see light where I entered the ground, okay? And then all of a sudden the tunnel went from 45 to straight down. And as I went around that corner, it just went pitch black, nothing. And I knew then and there I'm going straight to hell, literally. So I got up that morning, got the tablets, chucked them down the toilet and went searching for God, because I didn't know him at the time. And I found, or he found me. So much so that I'm here today. Is that a good thing? I love it. 35 years later, here we are ministering for the Lord. Thank God he gave me that dream. I really believe he gave me that dream. So that's my testimony. Do remain seated as we sing. Amen. Like to share. In fact, Ben, do you want to come and be the runner for the microphone, please? You're young and fit, mate. Just come down here. If anybody raises their hand, you go straight to them with the mic. Anybody want to share how God has been good in your life?
Because of God, I can walk and talk and I'm here. And also, he's given me a great family and he's done wonderful things.
Hallelujah. Now, Ben, down the back, Nancy, mate. There she is.
I'm here today because a missionary-minded teenager asked my mother, who was not religious at all, could she take her little girl to Sunday school? And that's why I'm here.
Isn't that wonderful? We're really glad you're here, too, Nance. Let's sing one more time. And all we're singing, think about, have you got something to share? Hey. Don't be shy. Here you go, Ben.
Yes, God has definitely helped me in my life. I suffered from eclampsia, which ended up in a eclamptic fit. I had still 4 weeks to go of my pregnancy. My husband, I got a very bad headache, and he rang the hospital and they said, bring her in. And I thought, going from West Croydon all the way to Flinders, ridiculous. As soon as I got in, I started the fit there. Oh. So within 15 minutes, my son was born and my life was saved.
Hallelujah.
Apparently, I swelled up and they couldn't even see the single bed underneath me. My head was enormous.
Enormous.
Yes.
I'm glad it's gone down again. That's great news. Well done.
And the son's
born too.
Wow.
I can make it a long story, or I can tell you one from yesterday. I went to pick up the bread from the RSL. I go earlier, and I help them to get it from the bakery as well. And there was a lady sitting in the RSL by herself. Other people sit with their regular people. And one thing is, no, I'm not shy. So I do prefer those than this. But I went and spoke to her, and I said to her, are you waiting for more friends? And she said, no, I like to be isolated, she said. So I could have said, well, go ahead, I'll go there. No, I stayed and spoke to her for about a half hour.
True.
And she started to speak. And she must have come out of a bad marriage situation. You know, it's interesting how people start to tell you about their background, which is wonderful. But in my life, God has put me through a lot. My husband died 18 years ago from Agent Orange. And I did ask God why. And a lot of my Christian friends said, you can't ask God why. You can't do that. And I said, well, he hasn't killed me yet, so I'm going to keep doing it. I think I went through 4 years trying to find out why God took him home. But now I know the only place where he is where he is. And God is a good God. So that's hard to say, isn't it? So short messages and long messages are all fabulous. And I think we've all got a book in us. I'm sure we have. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. Well done. What about we sing it one more time? But this time, can we clap? How's that? Even while you're sitting. Hey.
Hey.
heart that shared. It was so brave to do that. You know what's really scary as well is getting up here and singing in front of all you people. And Glenys has chosen to do that today. Give her a clap. Good on you, Reese.
Yeah.
Okay, now we come to a time of notices. And this morning there was actually nobody on the coffee roster. There was no name down there. So the leadership had to decide that people had to just go and get their own. That's all we could do, put out the cups and the milk and sugar and that. And you go and serve yourself. Until a beautiful lady named Sharon volunteered to take it over for us. Thank you, Sharon. But you can understand the necessity of having coffee people to serve us. So that roster's still got a few vacant spots. If anybody feels led to serve coffee, it's a good deal. You get to meet everybody in the whole church. Then please go and put your name down. And I'm going to ask Rob to come forward and give us a notice, please. And dance.
I'm a very shy person, so I won't say very much. That's terrible. Everybody laughs. I haven't even said it. Okay, circle of friends. This is a paid announcement from Varel. If I do the announcement, I get paid. I'll get lunch today. Circle of Friends, it's this Thursday. No, this Tuesday. Circle of Friends this Tuesday for the ladies who want to come. Colin, come back. I haven't finished yet. That's terrible when your audience stands up and walks away. Circle of Friends happens this Tuesday for ladies who want to come and just chat, have good friends, have a cuppa, have something to eat, and just be amongst friends. That's what it's called, Circle of Friends. That's it. I could sing a song about Circle of Friends, but I won't. Oh, Colin, you're back.
Thanks, Rob. And thank you, Colin. Time for intercessions.
We share together now in our prayer. God of the past, who has fathered us and mothered us, we are here to thank you. God of the future, who is always ahead of us, we are here to trust you. God of the present, here in the midst of us, we are here to praise you. God of life beyond us, within us, we rejoice in your glorious love. Dear God, we come in this worship time, our prayer time, to confess that despite our wish to express our lives as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, to make our Christianity evident to the world, we have not always done this. Sometimes as we face the traumas of life, we give in to illogical, unworthy passions. We confess that we find it easier to go along with the crowd than to stand alone in contentious matters. It is easier to take rather than to give, to turn away the needy and rather spend time with those who are like us. We therefore ask you to help us to continually find renewal of faith in a world that has no much evil in it. In a world where leadership can be seen as give to me rather than let me help you. So we bring ourselves to you to ask for the mighty power of your Spirit to guide our lives. In our sicknesses, we seek your healing. In our aging and facing what the future might be, let us be people of grace as you give us strength. in our anxieties about the world. Give us hope and help us in all the difficulties faced by so many people in so many places to be harbingers of goodness and hope, compassion and love. We ask you to help us in our sicknesses. Help us as we take on a role of carers. Help us as we face heavy pressure and trauma. And help us as we need to make special decisions so important in our lives or the lives of others. Dear God, help us each one to show our faith in a needy world. And we pray for the world, for there are many things in it that worry us and concern us. Hear your creation, your lovely creation, taken by people and abused. And so we pray that as Christian people in this place here, and we think of Christian people throughout the world, we pray that all of us together might be those who are found ready to do what you call us to do, wherever we are. So we bring our spoken prayers, but we also bring our special prayers, those from our hearts that come to us at this time, this special time, and we bring you these special prayers in this time of silence. And we pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. Today we're really focusing on God's goodness, and from that testimony, those testimonies really proves it, doesn't it? And there's a song that is called "The Goodness of God" that I'd like to teach us if we can, because it's a beautiful song and the words are really special for today's service. So I'm just going to give you an idea of how a verse and a chorus goes, just to get sink in the tune. And then we're going to all sing it from the beginning. So it goes like this. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And the chorus is this part. Shall we sing it together now? Please remain seated. I love you, Lord,
This morning's reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Chris. That last song was actually the offering song, so we're just going to pray now. Father, thank you, Lord, that once again you've provided so much for us that we are willing and happy to give back to you just a portion of it. But we do pray, Lord, in every possible way that you would use these gifts of monies and foods to minister to this people who are in this whole area around us and to this church. And that we ask in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Adrian. It was quite a while ago that someone said to me once, turn this little thing on. There we go. Someone said to me once, God will accept us just as we are, but loves us way too much to leave us that way. And that is a clever statement, I reckon. And I can certainly testify to the validity of it in many ways in my life. Now, with that in mind, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians. And one of the reasons for the letter was to thank them for a gift that they had sent to him while he was in detention in Rome. If someone gave you a gift, that was the same statement, sorry, before. If someone gave you a gift, you would want to thank them, wouldn't you, in response? But I bet you wouldn't do what Paul did next in that letter. Paul also reminded them that they must remain humble and remain united. You see, he had heard that two women had had a disagreement and it was causing division. You know, I went to a seminar a couple of years ago and it was about dealing with conflict in the church. Now, this may be open to conjecture, but what they told us was that of all the institutions that have conflict, the church has the most. And worse than that, they are the least able to deal with it. It's confronting, isn't it? That's what they told me. But when you think about it, what institution would the devil want to upset the most? And certainly the answer would be the church. So Paul heard that two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, had had a disagreement. And it doesn't say about what, though. But the thing was, those two ladies were more likely deacons in the church. And Paul mentions that many had become believers through their efforts and their belief and teachings. At Philippi, women were the first people to come to the Lord. A woman named Lydia was the very first convert at Philippi. And those that were the first to understand the gospel were also asked to teach. So Euodia and Syntyche were leaders of that early church. Now you can imagine what it may have looked like to some that witnessed their disagreement. So please let me ask, this is rhetorically, okay? Don't need to answer. Have you ever had a disagreement with a brother or a sister in a church? And sadly it happens, doesn't it? There's no doubt. And it hurts, there's no question. I believe I've said to the Lord on a few occasions, please, Lord, let them know that they are wrong and I am right. Or was it the other way around? I can't quite remember. This I do know, though. When I have messed up, there has always been a lesson to be learned in working it through. And usually a hard lesson. Unfortunately, we learn the best through hard times. Now, that's not my idea. You need to take that up with God when you see him. Now, remember what we said before. God accepts us just as we are, but loves us way too much to leave us that way. I marvel at how God helps us to grow. I marvel at it. I call him tricky, but in a very good way. So Paul wrote in his letter, be humble and remain united. Even encourage others to help out in the situation. And most disagreements require conversation and understanding on everybody's part. And Paul, being a very smart man, knew it's much easier when there is a disagreement to say, well, I don't want to know. Than it is to sit down and try and work it out. I find that it's easier to say, I don't want to know it, than to actually face it and talk it out. We have to understand Paul's own situation when he wrote this letter. He was under house arrest in Rome, very much a prisoner of sorts, and he was there for 2 years, although he didn't know how long it was going to be when he wrote the letter. You know, he could have said this in the letter. He didn't, obviously, but he could have. I don't know why you guys are complaining. I've been stuck here for who knows how long, and the food's lousy, I can't go outside, and there's no air conditioning. Or something like that. But no, do you know what he said instead? Quite the opposite. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What an unusual thing to say. But Paul's attitude teaches us an important lesson, and that is, what we feel inside doesn't always have to reflect what's happening around us. And why? Because Paul knew that no matter what happened to him, whatever happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. How many times have you heard that even through a hard time we may feel this sense of peace? It's almost upside down as far as the world teaches us. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and then he says, do not be anxious about anything. Now that may sound impossible to some, but is it? Can we avoid anxiety about everything? And if so, how do we achieve that? How can we not be anxious when everything around us is going wrong or just seems in turmoil? Well, he goes on to tell us this, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I'm sure it is quite natural to have concerns when issues arrive. But what Paul is saying here is, it's okay to have concerns initially, but before we allow it to turn to worry or anxiety, pray about it. And it says pray about it with thanksgiving. Some may dispute that, but let me remind you, look at who we are praying to, the creator of the universe, and that is a big deal. I need to share with you a true story at this point. To show how prayer to the Lord can have amazing outcomes. Many years ago, there was a missionary in Africa that needed help with his work. So he decided to go back to his hometown, a local church, and his local church to ask for that help. His hometown was in Scotland, and when he went there, it was the middle of winter, and the congregation were quite elderly. He thought to himself, I can't see many turning up because of the cold, and most are too old to pack up and move to Africa. But he thought, I'll give my message anyway. It's what God has called me to do. So he delivered the message, and at the end, he put out a call. Who will come? Who will come and help? There was absolute silence for a couple of minutes. But then all of a sudden, a little voice piped up, saying, I'll go, said the voice. It was the young lad that actually pumped up the bellows on the organ. Okay? And of course he was too young to become a missionary. But he was told that night that when he gets older, if he became a doctor, they need medical missionaries in Africa. And that is exactly what he did. He grew up, he studied, and he became a doctor. Do you know anybody know his name? David Livingston, yeah. He went to Africa and became a medical missionary. Now, the story's not over yet. He did a lot of good in Africa, and he tried to evangelize wherever he could with some success. But there was one particular chief that was dead set against Christianity at that time. And this chief vowed to kill Dr. Livingston because he believed his people were being brainwashed. So the chief even sent a message ahead that he was coming on this particular night to murder Dr. Livingston and his helpers. Now, I'm sure that was a point of worry for the doc, I'm sure. But when the night came, nothing happened. They were all safe and sound. Now, it was some 2 years after that that the chief actually came to the Lord himself, the murderous chief, found Christ, and became friends with Dr. Livingston. Now, we know this is true because Dr. Livingston kept a very detailed journal of everything, and that was well documented, that story. So, after the chief's march, somebody just walked into the toilet that I don't recognise. Well, Colin, can you have a look? So, after the chief's salvation, Dr. Livingston questioned the chief about that particular night. "Why didn't you turn up?" he asked. And the chief replied, "We did, but your whole camp was surrounded by giants. 39 of them, to be exact. We counted them and they looked like angels." Now, I'm sure Dr. Livingston was praying that particular night. He was a prolific prayer, but the story doesn't end there. Remember, this is well documented. It's proven to be correct. The good doctor had reason to visit his home church again in Scotland sometime after that event. And it was there that he relayed the story that I just told you to his home church. So the church secretary approached the doctor after the message and asked if he knew the exact date that the angels were seen. And of course he did, because of his journaling. So the church secretary searched through his own church records and relayed this to the doctor. It was on that very day that there was a prayer meeting at the church praying for you, and there were 39 people in attendance. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I wonder when I'm praying, is anything happening, Lord? Sometimes it just doesn't seem like it. And there are times where I forget just who I'm praying to. If we as mere humans have a desire or a passion to pray for someone or to pray about an issue, do you know what happens next? And this is straight out of Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 34. It says, Jesus died and raised again. We know that to be true. But where is he now? It says this. He sits at the right hand of God, a place of true authority, and is also interceding for us. Now that is a big deal. Jesus is advocating for us. Can we comprehend the enormity of that? How can we not expect something to happen when we pray? And given what God can do, shouldn't we also be thankful? You know, it goes on to say in Romans that not everything is going to be a bed of roses in life. We know that, don't we? We will face troubles, even death. But because we believe in Jesus and he loves us, it says this in Romans, in all things, even death. I'll just read it. In all things, even death, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Now, I can't speak for the whole world, but the scripture reminds me that our chances in life and death are really good because of our faith. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, I can understand why. I can. When he says, do not be anxious about anything, I'm getting better at it. When he says, pray about everything with thanksgiving, I am trusting God more and more, because look who we are praying to. You know, there is still more good news ahead. If we choose to think along those lines, what happens? Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, we can't humanly understand it, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We receive peace. It is the same peace that Jesus promised his disciples and to anybody that follows him, which is us. We can't manufacture it. It comes from knowing that God is in control, even during hard times. It is truly a gift from God. And how special is that? In fact, what an honour that the Lord even offers it to us in the first place. You know, I came across this picture once, and you know what they say, a picture can speak 1,000 words. Well, I think this picture says it all. That is Jesus, and that is you. I can imagine that in life and in death. Rejoice, don't be anxious, pray about everything. And the goodness of God will send his peace. Rejoice, don't be anxious, pray about everything. And the goodness of God will send his peace. As we sing that same song, The Goodness of God, or as we just listen to it, if anybody is challenged by this message, and I can understand it can be challenging, then please open your hearts to the beauty of it. And if there are concerns, then seek his supernatural peace, not ours, but his. Because really, God is good all the time. Do remain seated as we sing.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head,
thanksgiving, and present your request to the Lord. says, not me, he says, a peace that transcends all human understanding will come upon us. So, Lord God, I ask now that that peace, that wonderful peace that you so richly give, will come upon us. Those with medical issues, Lord, those that are facing a hard time ahead, please, Lord, bring that peace. And for, Lord God, if it's in your will that there is healing ahead, then please, Lord, allow that healing to happen. We ask in Jesus' name, the most powerful name there is. Lord, if anybody is feeling anxiety for any reason now, let them bring that request to you, Lord, through prayer and with thanksgiving. And once again, Father, we ask that the peace that transcends all human understanding will come upon us. And God's word is true. When he promises we can believe it. How great is our God? How great is our God? I think we need to stand as our last song.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness strives.
Our God.
Father, as we go out through this week, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. Show your peace, Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
How great is our God. Sing with me, our God.